Welcome to the best damn hunting podcast on the planet. Welcome to HuntCast. And now your host, TJ Schaefer.
What's up, guys? It's TJ Schaefer. Thank you for listening to the HuntCast. This is going to be episode number 31. And, man, I'm sorry we've been away for so long. Everybody tells me that the key to podcast success is consistency, all right? And, yeah, although that may be true, I'm busy. You know, we're all busy. I work a regular job just like you guys do. I do this in my free time, whatever free time I got. I got three daughters. All three of them are playing softball this year. I mean, it's literally freaking nuts how busy I am at the moment. But, anyway, we have a great episode today. As you've heard in past episodes, we have been booked up solid turkey hunting. I've already been to Florida. We did some turkey hunting here in Texas. I got Kansas lined up. I got Tennessee lined up. Plus, on top of that, this weekend, we have the winners of our Instagram contest with, you know, hog hunting with the guys from the HuntCast. Kate Small and Justin Small are coming from Idaho, I think, where they're from. And they're going to lay the smack down on some East Texas pigs with us. And so, dude, we're busy. I'm sorry that we hadn't come out with more episodes lately, but I promise you, we've got several lined up, ready to go, so we shouldn't be missing any for a while. Speaking of being busy, we have been busting it, getting the new website up and running. And it is live. It is now up and going. You can hear all the podcasts on there. You can read a little bit about me, all that good stuff. It's www.thehuntcast.net. All right, .net. None of that .com bullcrap, old school stuff. This is www.thehuntcast.net. And we're really proud of it. I'm super stoked about it. I think it's a great website. And I think it's going to achieve exactly what we wanted to put out. So there you go. Also, YouTube. You got to go to YouTube.com, whatever, however you get to YouTube, and search The HuntCast and subscribe to that channel, all right? Because we're going to be coming out with all kinds of content, and it's fun. It's crazy. It shows you a little bit about how we hunt. And not just in Texas, I mean, all over the place. It's going to be covering all the different places we go and hunt and fish and have all that good stuff. So you got to go to YouTube, subscribe to our channel. It's The HuntCast. And I think there's even a link to it on the new website. So there you go. You can go to the website and get connected with us on everything. If you're listening to this on iTunes, all right, which a lot of people do, statistically, I think most people do, please go and write a review, all right? Give us that 5-star rating, or you can tell us we suck if we do suck. I mean, I hope not, but if we suck, why are you even listening to us? But go give us that 5-star rating, write a quick review telling us how awesome we are, you know, whatever. It is much appreciated, and it allows other people to find out about this show and get to listen and continue to build the community that we're trying to do here, all right? So anyway, we got all that out of the way. This week's episode is pretty cool because you guys know him. He's a third-time guest. He's actually the first third-time guest. Ben Dedamani, a.k.a. Shed Crazy, is on the show. He came down and from Utah and hopped on a plane, got to Dallas. I picked him up, and we went turkey hunting in central west Texas, I guess you could say. And it was pretty funny, you know, especially if you like things to suck for me. It's freaking hilarious in that sense. So anyway, here we go with the episode. We got Ben Dedamani. Also, we're joined by my cousin Travis Owens. He went with us on this hunt too. And this is our Texas Rio turkey hunt. Ben, what's going on, my man?
TJ, what's up?
Dude, do you realize that you are the first 3-time guest on the HuntCast?
Ooh, I guess that makes me the champion then, right?
Well, so far, yeah, you know.
You're waiting for my belt in the mail.
Yeah. No, but seriously, dude, I appreciate you being on the show. And the reason why you're kind of the first third-time guest, I guess, is because me and you have kind of got to be little buds, I guess, you know? I mean,
best friends.
Well, I don't know if we'd go best friends yet, but we're getting there, man. Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, what we're talking about today is our Texas turkey hunt. And Travis, say what's up. Travis is on the line too.
What's up, Ben?
How's it going, man?
Oh, pretty good, man.
Anyway, we got Travis, we got Ben, we got myself. And I don't know, was it like a little bit over a week ago, we went to Jacksboro, Texas. We picked Ben up from DFW Airport, ran down to Jacksboro, Texas in hopes of shooting some Texas Rios, some turkeys. And this podcast is the story of our hunt. So, Ben, I got to ask, cause you came down, you whitetail hunted with me last October. What were your preconceived ideas of what turkey hunting in Texas was going to be?
I think I had the same like notions about it that I had about whitetail hunting down there. I thought it would just be a cake deal, you know? I thought it was going to just be like, get up, go look at a feeder for a minute, you know, certain time of day, the bucks run in, you take your pick. You know, I thought it'd be about like that. I thought the turkeys would just show up at a certain time. You just pick one, be back and eat some fried okra for lunch, you know?
Yeah. Well, first let me say, did your preconceived ideas for whitetail hunting, did it meet your expectations?
No, I mean, it was fun. It was a different kind of fun than I thought it was going to be, but it was a lot tougher than I expected. I mean, just surprised how much these deer move, and like, they don't stick around. They don't hold still. And how, even when we were there in Texas, it was peak rut, and it was still tough to get a mature buck where you could kill him.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it definitely, you hit it perfectly. And I didn't think you were going to hit it. I thought you were going to be a little bit early on the rut, but dude, we saw them run around with their tongues hanging out and everything else. I mean, it was pretty freaking legit deer hunting that whole time. So dude, yeah. So turkeys. Okay. Have you ever shot a turkey before?
Yes, I did. I shot one Jake in Utah, but that's it.
Travis, you ever shot a turkey before?
Never. Well, one time in Llano, but that was with a rifle. Doesn't count.
Yeah, that doesn't count because it probably disintegrated that turkey.
Nothing left.
Anyway, well, I mean, like I said, this turkey season, I thought, you know what? I'm going to get out and I'm going to hunt a lot. I'm going to turkey hunt a lot. I love turkey hunting. I freaking love it. And this was a little bit different. Turkey hunting, because you know, in Texas we were supposedly hunting feeder locations and things like that, and you know, where turkeys would come in, and like you said, Ben, we could probably take our pick of what we wanted to shoot. It turned out that it really wasn't that way. What were both of y'all, I want to ask, what, when we pulled up to camp, okay, and I didn't know this place either, I'd never been to this place before, but when we pulled up to camp, what was your first reaction?
Well, I was like thinking, okay, we got this cool little cabin to stay in. There's a ton of taxidermy in there, you know, like this is going to be super legit set up. And I was looking around at the kind of terrain that we were going to be hunting. I thought it's going to be pretty open. It just looked like it pretty much how I imagine it to be, greener than what I always picture Texas. I always forget that East Texas is like tropical and West Texas is like desert.
Well, but, yeah. And we were, just so our listeners know, we were probably about an hour on the other side of Fort Worth, on the west side of Fort Worth. So I wouldn't consider that East Texas anymore, but I really wouldn't consider it West Texas either. It's kind of like the whole North Texas vibe, I guess. I mean, Texas, you know, we got like five different countries in our state. But, yeah, I mean, I was the same way, dude. Pull up to the cabin, I'm like, man, this place is pretty cool. I mean, it wasn't nothing over the top by any means. I mean, it's somewhat primitive. We had, you know, running water and a shower and a little baby stove, but it wasn't what I don't know. I thought it was pretty cool. It wasn't really what I was expecting. Travis?
The camp was good. I expected, when we first got there, just looking at everything, I thought we'd be done 20 minutes the next morning. I figured all three of us would have a bird.
Well, and that's kind of what we were told. That's the guy was like, hey, dude, you know, you ain't gonna have no problem tagging out, whatever. But we'll get to all that in a minute. So we get there Friday night, probably what, like 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, something like that. And we were, you know, this was a place that I think Travis just found it on the internet, you know, just typed in Texas turkey hunting or something, because, we were just looking for a place to go, and we found this place, called him, talked to him for a little bit. And he was like, yeah, you're not gonna have any problem tagging out. You know, we got all kinds of turkeys, blah, blah, blah. We got a little place for you to stay in. You know, we paid our down payments. We went. We were, and I'm going to be very, very candid with this whole podcast because that's what I mean. It's freaking internet, and I can say whatever I want to say, right? But anyway, we pull up, and this kid who looks like he's probably 15 years old pulls up next to us, and his name is, well, we'll just call him Bob, okay? Because I don't want to call anybody out. But, you know, Bob looked like he spent his days under the hood of a 67 Chevy or something. I don't know. I don't know kind of what was going on with it. But Bob got us settled in and demanded some more money, which I thought was a little weird. But I don't know. We got Bob paid, and we go to bed, and we wake up the next morning, and Bob shows up and takes us to our first spots. Travis, where did you hunt?
I was the last one to be dropped off. I was in probably a 50-acre field, the south corner of it, right on the wood lines. And as you both know, the weather was horrible. Wind was blowing 30, 40 miles an hour, temperature 40 degrees. And I was looking over 1,000 yards into a pasture to my north, so it's pretty miserable.
Yeah, it rained the whole day before, didn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, like a front blew in that night, and it's freaking springtime Texas weather. It's supposed to be like 85 degrees,
right.
And it was cold as balls that morning, for sure. And Travis, he made a comment. I don't know. He's not going to elaborate. Travis is not a man of many words. In case you know some of you are listening, I mean. You ride around the truck with him, dude won't shut up. But you get him on the podcast, and he hardly wants to say anything. But anyway, freaking wind was blowing. Travis is out in this pasture, and he's getting wind burned and all kinds of stuff. God, where were you hunting at, Ben?
So I was in the first blind, the first place, and it was actually just the hill right above the cabin that we were staying in. So I was the first one to get dropped off, and it was a brush blind, a ground blind, and it was like – very, very well brushed in, as in like you couldn't see anything. So I think it was maybe the during that first morning, I was just pulling branches and stuff off of there. So I at least had shooting lanes without standing up. And basically there's a few clear cuts off to the north of me and a couple to the south of me. And I just kind of sat in between those clear cuts on a feeder. And then there was a big road that the birds were supposed to transition down to the feeder and go out and strut around out in the clear cuts. That was, you know, the theory, I think, behind it.
That was the scouting report that we all received, I guess. Travis, did you, both of y'all, because we all hunted in some kind of relation to a feeder, okay, throwing out corn. Did either of y'all see birds actually eating out of those feeders or eating corn on the ground that the feeders threw? I mean, did y'all see them eating corn at all?
I saw them. Both the birds that I killed were eating corn when I shot them. The one grabbed a couple. But for the most part, I had a couple birds cruise by and not even look at it, and then I had some show up and eat on it.
Yeah.
I seen 25 birds, and maybe 5 kernels were ate. Every one of them just walked straight past the feeder, and that's probably 40 pounds of corn laying on the ground because the feeder constantly spun all day long because of the wind, and I've never seen that.
Yeah,
I was constantly spinning.
Well, I was the, I guess, second one to be dropped off. Mm-hmm. Okay, and dude, I don't understand. I mean, I'm the host of a podcast. I am the one who kind of put this whole trip together. I drove. You know, we all looking for a great time. I am 6'3", 300 pounds all day long. Okay. And I get put in this fiberglass culvert. I don't really know. What was this thing?
Y'all have no clue what it would have been.
It was some kind of like fiberglass. They called it a dome blind, but I could literally put my elbows out to the side and my elbows would touch each side of it. And the shooting window was like probably 6 inches high by maybe 12 inches wide.
It wasn't that big. It looked like about 2 iPhones.
You
couldn't get a scoped rifle out of it.
So I'm sitting here. I walk up to it. I'm like, okay, you know, cool. And it's basically sitting on a road. I'm probably 10 feet from a creek that has water in it. And then the road goes up a hill. There's a feeder up on the hill, probably 30, 35 yards away. And Bob says, yeah, man, they're going to come right down this road. They're going to eat them a little corn. Then they're going to walk down this creek, get them a little drink. And I'm like, okay, here we go. You know, I'm going to try to get some decent footage of this, but it's not going to, I'm going to say this, it's not going to do anything to help the stereotypes out there for Texas hunting, you know, because it's going to be like freaking a chip shot to shoot these turkeys. I'm just going to go ahead and tell the story. I mean, dude, I sat there, and dude, we had some long sits, man. Like I said, I've turkey hunted a bunch. I've turkey hunted all over the southern United States, and I have never sat in one location for near as long as I mean, we sat, what, like from what time you pick us up at 11? So yes. So from like 6:30 to 11, so like 5 hours almost.
2 days of hunting, we sat almost 20 hours.
Oh, my God. And the chairs. So I open up the blind, and my chair is one of those bone collector fold out chairs, you know, like you can fold them up and put them in a bag or whatever. And both the armrests are ripped off, and I could lean over to one side. And of course I know they got weight ratings on them, and you know, me being a 300 pounder, you got to get the big boy chairs. It just was not the best comfortable spot in the world. And the only thing I saw, first off, my feeder didn't go off, but the only thing I saw all morning was a damn dog that come running down the lane. And I guess he smelt me or knew I was there, and he kind of was investigating. I finally opened up the door and yelled at him, and he thought I was going to play with him, so he hung around even longer, and I got out to kick him. He thought I was going to play with him some more. And finally, I think he felt the wind off of my boot, and it scared him off a little bit. But that was my morning hunt. And I really don't know what else to say about it. It was probably, I don't know. I don't even know what to say. I'm dumbfounded even sitting here thinking about it again. And they didn't even believe me that I saw a freaking dog. That's what got me, is they're like, ain't no dog running. I'm like, dude, I got it on video. So anyway, anybody kill anything the first morning? I don't even remember.
No.
Did you see anything, Travis?
I seen 5 birds. That was the morning. I seen the 3 big toms, but nothing close enough, and 2 jakes.
What'd you see, Ben?
I didn't see anything that first morning. I saw some cardinals.
Yeah, dude, this place was like a cardinal sanctuary. I don't even know what else to say, because I honed my photography skills on cardinals for sure. Anybody out there needing a professional cardinal photographer, I am your dude now. what were your thoughts, Ben, after this first morning? Are you like, give me a break? This is freaking ridiculous.
Well, I figured that a lot had to do with the weather, because it was so cold and so windy. I figured the birds had probably just stayed huddled down. Like, it was cold. That was probably the combination of sitting there and then the wind and then, you know, not moving, not getting your blood flowing. Like, I walked back to the cabin probably at about 11 just because I was frozen.
Yeah.
And I hunt cold all the time. Like, cold is, I'm no stranger to it at all. It was cold.
Well, did you hear any gobbling or anything that first morning? Either one of you?
No, not the first morning. It was
too
windy.
But you saw them.
I had pigs come in at 10 feet, and I didn't even hear those come in. Had 7 pigs come in. I look up, and they're sitting 10 feet from me. That's how windy it was.
Dang. Well, I was in this fiberglass blind that my body temperature kept at like 92 degrees. So, I don't know. Second night, or the first night, we got there Friday night, that was Saturday morning. Saturday night, you guys both, I'm back in the fiberglass culvert, that's all of 3 feet by 3 feet, I guess, and waiting for them birds to come on down the road and get them a few kernels of corn and come out and get them a drink. And I didn't see crap but the dog again. Travis, I'm glad you think it's funny, Ben. I really do, because I'll get to my story in a minute about what I told the guy about that blind, but what happened with you guys on Saturday night?
Go ahead, Travis.
Well, mine was first. He dropped us off at like 2:30 is what time I got in my stand.
Yeah, okay, so we hunt. Perfect point. We hunt from like 6 a.m. to 5, or excuse me, to 11. And then we get back in the blind at freaking 2 o'clock.
Yeah, and he told me, I was asking him, I said, what time should we see these birds? And the only answer I got, anytime. I was like, okay. Well, I guess it was about 3:50. 2 jakes walked out. First my tom walked out, and he just ran across. Every bird I seen was moving. All they would do is they'd come out of a corner of this little wood of some woods walk right beside me within 10 feet. Well, they wasn't walking. They all ran through there. They'd stop walking as soon as they got into the pasture and got to the northern wood line. Well, he ran across. I had my bow. I was going to try to shoot him with my bow, and he just ran across. And I was like, well, that was my chance. Then I had the two Jakes come back out. Now I'm trying to set down the bow because that morning, yes, that evening is when the 8 hens came out with them. So I had 10 sets of eyes on me within 20 yards, and I'm scared to death because all I ever hear is turkeys can see. Turkeys have good eyes. And unlike Ben, my ground blind, I guess I used all the trees for his because I had nothing in front of me between me and the feeder. And they walked out about 30 yards into the field, and I look up, and here comes that Tom, nice shot. And I just grabbed the shotgun off the ground, shot him about 10 yards, and that's when I called you or was texting you, and the other turkeys stayed in the field 50 yards away. Two Jakes started strutting, just blew me away. I'm like, this is going to be awesome. And that was it. Yeah. I sat there for another 3 hours, didn't see a bird.
Ben, tell me about it.
Well, I got in the blind, and the problem, the good and the bad thing about the blind that I was sitting in is I had full service, full LTE on my phone. So naturally, I was just, like, distracted. I was just on Instagram and YouTube watching videos, and I think I was about an hour. I know I hadn't looked up for probably 6 minutes because I was 6 minutes deep into a YouTube video. And I look up, and there's a Tom, and he had basically, I think his running in caught my attention, and he ran into my field of view, and he turned around and ran right back out. And I'm like, oh, great. That was it. That was my chance. Like, I just blew it because I was on my phone.
Do you think he saw you?
He had to have. Like, I don't know what else would have alerted him like that. At that point, I had my camera filming on, like, a big DSLR with a big lens, and it was set up kind of high above the blind level so I could see over the branches in the frame. And I think he saw my camera. But he came in, looked for 1 second, ran right back out. And I'm like, well, that was exciting. And so then I dropped my camera down, so it was looking through a hole in the blind instead of up high. And I decided I was going to be like a real, you know, really vigilant there for a while. And it kept my attention. And I probably for like 2 hours, I'm like on it, you know, just like waiting. Like, he's going to come back and I'm going to kill him. And probably 2 hours later, I picked my phone back up and I got back to scrolling through Instagram. And I don't know how long I'd been in that trance. And I looked up and there was a bunch of birds on the feeder.
You never saw them come out. They were just there.
Well, the blind I was hunting, I mean, you couldn't see 20 feet on every side of the feeder, you know. You just see, they could have been there for 1 second or they could have been there for 3 minutes. I don't know. But you'd never would have seen them coming in. You just see them as soon as they get to the feeder because that's all you can see. So I reached up and turned my camera on. Of course, forgot to set my focus how I should have. So you get some nice shots of the blind and some blurry turkeys in the background. And as soon as I reached over and picked up the shotgun, they all were instantly alert. And so there was one really big Tom there that had a lot longer beard, just a lot bigger bird. And then there was another Tom that was closer to me that was in the perfect position, and it kind of got alert and picked his head up. And I thought, oh, that's the perfect shot. So I shot that one at about maybe 15 yards, probably 10 to 15 yards. And he just flopped right over. And then I stood up out of the blind and racked another one in. I was going to try to shoot that big Tom, but I never did get a beat on him before he got in the thick stuff. Dude. And, yeah, just like that, had one down.
Well, I'm going to give a spoiler alert and say that I didn't see a turkey all freaking weekend. And I hunted the old fiberglass culvert that night, like I said. And you mentioned your camera, Ben. This thing was so small that I couldn't put my camera inside it with me. So what I did is I had it sat outside the blind, and there was another little, I don't know, 6x8 window to the right that my hand would fit through where I could grab the handle on the tripod and move the camera around if I needed to. And so if I did see anything, I'm sure I would have got busted like crazy because – like I said, my bag, I mean, everything I had other than my shotgun was outside of this blind sitting on the ground. because they were
blind like a suit, and like it's like you were wearing it.
Exactly. I'm not playing. I mean, it might have been 40 degrees outside, but just my breath had the thing up to like 85 degrees. I'm not even playing. It was that freaking small. It just blew my mind. And my dog buddy showed back up that night, and it only took me to yell at him one time before he hauled ass and I didn't see him anymore. But, you know, I don't know, dude. I'm really dumbfounded at my Saturday hunting at this particular place. And, you know, I kept thinking it can't get any worse than this. I remember laying in bed that night thinking, well, can't get any worse than what just happened. And unfortunately it could have, and it did. But, Sunday morning rolls around. We actually cooked some, dude, and then I'm telling you, this is so unlike me, because I like everything, and Travis can testify to this. I like everything to be perfect. I like, you know, when we cook dinner at night, I like it to be a great dinner and all this kind of stuff. I'd bought some steaks at the weirdest grocery store I think I've ever been in my life. That's like the freaking twilight. This whole thing for me was like the freaking Twilight Zone. I don't even know how to describe it. You know, the guy's like, hey, yeah, I got you guys some charcoal for the grill too. And it's like a third of a bag. I mean, like, I pour out the charcoal in the grill and there's like 12 little charcoal nuggets. And thank God they had, like, you know, oak laying around everywhere that was somewhat dry, because we ended up building a big old fire in the pit with oak and cooked the steaks that night. But we had a good dinner that night. We watched some more Nicolas Cage movies and went to bed finally. I don't know. Sunday morning, somebody started off, because, again, everybody's going to be depressed if they're listening to what I got to say about this hunt.
Well, Sunday morning for me was uneventful once again. Just sat there and froze. And I did manage to kill my phone battery twice, I think, just looking at Instagram and YouTube. So that was probably all I did Sunday morning, is freeze and look at my phone and then recharge it on my spare battery.
Well, Sunday morning for me, I was excited. I thought the day before, like Saturday, like Ben said, the wind. I couldn't believe I seen a turkey. It was so windy where I was at. And the next day, it was dropped from 40 to 30. And
yeah, it was like 30 degrees that morning.
30 degrees.
It was cold.
Yes, and there's still about 10 mile an hour wind where I was.
And they said it was going to be no wind.
No wind. And I was excited. I was like, the birds have to move. They have to. As much as they've told us, you know, again, I was still expecting to see 20 birds every time we went and hunted. So I was like, maybe this is going to be a good morning. Right at daylight, I heard them gobble. And I was like, okay, this is going to get good. 20 minutes after daylight, I seen those same two Jakes sitting in the middle of that field. That was it till 11. 10:30, I told Bob, I said, come get me. I was done.
Yeah, and Bob didn't get in a hurry. He's in the middle of a tire rotation on a 72 Buick, and he's got to get that done real quick. Oh, Jesus. So, Ben, I feel like I'm somewhat technologically advanced. You know, I mean, I know how to do a podcast and some website stuff and, you know, operate a camera, do some video editing, everything like that. But I don't know. I've only watched Netflix when I've been at home. And Ben's like, yeah, dude, you can download that crap and watch it anywhere. You don't have to have service. So Sunday morning, I get to this new blind, okay, and it's a pop-up blind. And, dude, I'm jacked up because I love hunting pop-up blinds. You know, usually you're right there in the middle of the action, and you got plenty of room in these pop-up blinds and all this kind of stuff. I think they must have Googled smallest pop-up blind in the world and hit purchased. Because it was smaller than the old fiberglass culvert. I don't even know what to say, man. I've never seen a pop-up blind this small. There's like a small trail that's like 6 inches wide that's been cut amongst briars that are 6 foot tall. And so you kind of got to weave and go through this briar trail to get to this little pop-up blind. And he's like, oh, man, it's a good spot. They're going to come from here. They're going to come from here. They're going to come from over here.
They're going to fly in.
Basically, any direction. You tell me they're going to fly in. They're going to come off the roost and fly right. They're going to glide right in this spot. I'm jacked up, man. But just in case, I got my Netflix downloaded. I don't remember. Oh, it was that. What's a Motley Crue movie? The Dirt or whatever. I had that downloaded. Yeah. So yeah, I basically sat in the smallest pop up blind in the world and watched Motley Crue, that the Dirt movie, and that was my Sunday morning. I didn't see crap. I didn't hear crap. Y'all both talked about hearing them gobble or whatever on the roost. Dude, I'm not playing. And I've sitting here talking about watching Netflix and all this kind of stuff. I mean, I hunted, especially the first day. Like, my eyes were glued to this stupid hillside waiting for these turkeys to come down this road and eat some corn and get them a drink of water. I was ready to go. But, dude, I don't get it. I never heard a turkey. I never saw a turkey. I did break a rule Sunday morning. You know, we were told not to get up and run and gun. It's better just to sit in your blind and wait on them. I lasted till probably about 9:30, and I was like, screw this. And I got out of that. I basically peeled that pop-up blind off of me and just started doing some calling and doing some walking around. And I'd call for a little bit and sit. About 15 minutes later, I'd get up and move. I'd call a little bit and sit. Never freaking heard a turkey. Never heard any response. At this point, if y'all hadn't shot a turkey, I thought we'd been duped and we were on a turkeyless place. But I mean, I don't even know what else to say. I killed my battery just like you did, Ben, but I didn't have a backup charger. I ate all my Little Debbies that I had and I drank my pop, whatever. I mean, I was, when he came and picked me up at 11 o'clock, I was done. I didn't have anything left. So we go back to camp and, I cooked breakfast and, we watched another couple of Nicolas Cage movies and, I don't know. I mean, it wasn't that long before he came and picked us up again because we had to make sure we got our 16 hours of sitting in for the day. I go back to the same. Oh, and I forgot to mention this. So when he picks me up from the fiberglass culvert on Saturday night, I walk back over and I say, I'm going to burn this sumbitch down if you put me back in it. And apparently it stuck because he told his daddy, who you know, we booked the hunt with, that that's what I was going to do. But, yeah, the whole – smallest pop-up blind in the world, it wasn't no better that morning for sure. Sunday night, we're on Sunday night now, right?
Yep.
Ate lunch or ate breakfast, whatever. Sunday night rolls around, and at this point, I have zero expectations. I'm pissed. I know that nothing's going to happen. I don't know. I was hoping that this place would just be swallowed up into the earth would open and swallow this whole area up into the depths of hell. I had zero happiness in my heart coming to Sunday night hunt, but it's not about me. It's about you guys. So what happened Sunday night, Travis?
Sunday night, nothing. I was ready to go. And Bob texts me about an hour before dark, which that's what time he picked me up. And I kept asking, and nobody would answer my question because I'm ignorant to turkey hunting. I thought, when do turkeys go to roost? And he kept telling me 7 o'clock, around 7 o'clock, and like, that seems like a long time. I figured,
and it didn't even get dark till like 8:15, 8:30, right?
Exactly. And I was like, I figured they roosted right at dark, but again, I was ignorant. I was following the lead. Well, he texts me at 7 o'clock, said, I'm on my way. And I look up across this 1,000-yard field, and I see these little dots coming. So I'm getting on the phone trying. I had like 2% left on my battery phone, and I'm trying to get that text out to them, don't come, birds are coming. Well, I watched these birds run over 1,000 yards away, and I was trying to make a beard grow on one of them because they told me if we seen hens, we was going to see a tom. Now, this is my – I've sat here for 4 hours waiting on this. They got closer and closer. Every one of them was hens. Walked within 5 feet from me, 5-6 feet from me. Walked right past the feeder into the woods. I text Bob. I said, come get me. I'm done. And that was it. I was ready to go.
Well, Ben, what happened, you son of a bitch?
Well, I went into the Sunday evening hunt. I was pretty excited, actually, because I heard a bunch of gobbles that morning. I forgot to mention. They were gobbling on all sides of me. I think, you know, it kind of died off as the morning went on. But Sunday afternoon, it was, like, warm. I wasn't cold. I was going in the blind, and it was kind of like a bonus hunt. We weren't sure if we were going to stay and hunt the evening. I wasn't sure, so I was kind of excited to get a chance at another bird. In my mind, you know, having killed one, I felt pretty lucky considering the circumstances that we were hunting. And so for me, it was just a bonus sit, really. So I went out to the blind, kind of standard procedure, sat there for a long time, and probably 2 hours into the sit, I had these two hens walk up. And they came in pretty quiet, and I was able to get some decent video of them. And the one hen was real dumb. She walked right up and was just standing in the open. And the older one, she would just barely come into the clearing and then bark at the other one, and then they'd run away. They did that maybe two or three different times. And I was just kind of sitting in the blind. The wind was kind of blowing a little bit, and every once in a while I'd hear gobbles down in the canyon. And then maybe, 6:30 or 7.
Yeah, it was getting up there. It was getting pretty late.
Yeah, it was late. The sun, I know that the sun was going down. Probably the last, you know, half hour or so I'd have been in the blind. I caught movement coming in, and I was ready. I was on it. I had my gun up. I had the camera ready to go. And I looked, and there was a tom coming to the feeder. He was about to the feeder. And so I hurried and hit record. And as soon as I hit record, he heard my shutter open.
You're kidding. I didn't even know that.
Yep, as soon as that shutter clicked on, his head, he was just on alert immediately. And he turned and just booked it, ran away as fast as he could. And I knew, I'm like, this is my last chance, last day, last opportunity. I stood up out of the blind and blasted him on a dead run. So he was running just kind of like crossways to me, and he was pretty fair distance away. But I shot, and he just flopped right over. And I was kidding. First of all, I couldn't believe it worked out like that, because usually you're not going to shoot him running.
Right.
And the shot was good, did what it needed to, and went out there and kind of just put him out of his misery. He was flopping around a little bit. The thing for me that was the most surprising was how beautiful these birds were walking up on them. You know, like we talked about the iridescence, right?
Yeah.
About the color of the feathers and the heads and everything. But, I mean, just this tom was a little bit bigger than the first one I killed, a little bit better, and just a beautiful, beautiful bird. And I was just super grateful in that moment, you know, because it'd been such a tough hunt. And then at the same time, dude, all I was thinking was like, freaking poor TJ.
Dude.
The whole time.
I don't get it. I mean, and you're right. We'll get to all that in a minute. But, dude, these birds are gorgeous. And it's crazy how different they are from, you know, which we say this about everything, but how different they are from domesticated turkeys or whatever. I mean, you're right. I mean, the iridescence on these birds and just the multiple colors, you know, their neck and their heads. I mean, they're freaking gorgeous, dude. Absolutely beautiful birds. You know, and they're all different. I mean, you go from, you know, I hunted Osceolas in Florida the week before, they look totally different than Rios, and Rios look totally different from Easterns. I mean, there's just, it's crazy how pretty these birds are, you know, and dude, I don't know what's going on with me. You know, I mean, I would dare to say that I'm more experienced of a turkey hunter than you, Ben, or Travis. And I'm the one who has had goose eggs on two hunts. You know, it's been the craziest circumstance. I haven't done a podcast on the Florida hunt, but to give everybody a little bit of a teaser, we had so many freaking hens on this particular property that we went and hunted that we were constantly, when we were calling, we were constantly competing with all those hens. And, you know, I mean, I don't care what anybody says. I don't think you can beat Mother Nature when it comes to a call. And so we would get those gobblers coming a little bit closer, and the hens would start yelping the opposite direction. The gobblers go right back there. I mean, I sat within 10 feet of a bunch of jakes, and that wasn't what I went to Florida for, is to shoot a jake. And so, you know, big goose egg on the Florida hunt, and then, you know, our North Texas Rio hunt. I mean, like I said, I didn't even freaking see a bird. So I don't know what I'm doing wrong, guys. I don't know what I'm doing. I guess I'm just that unlucky. I don't know.
Well, that was exactly what it was, man, because we pulled up to that first blind, which was ended up being my blind. And he's just like, all right, who wants to sit here? And it was just luck of the draw that I'm like, I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know, and had birds come in and killed birds. If either of you guys would have sat there, you'd have killed them too. You know, it's just luck of the draw in a situation like that. But also, I mean, you'd assume if you're going to go down there and pay for two bird tag, you know, pay for a hunt and stuff, you should get an opportunity.
Yeah.
But then again, it's hunting, you know, and I think it throws that in the face of a lot of people that have the misconceptions I had, which is this is a canned deal. You know, this is going to be simple. It's going to be easy. We're going to roll in there. We're going to eat lots of snacks, kill some animals, and go home.
Right, right. Well, it's kind of like I said at the first, it was a different type of turkey hunting than I've ever done, because every other turkey I've ever been on, it's been running and gunning. You know, it's been calling, it's been waiting, it's been calling some more, and, you know, sitting in a blind, like you said, I mean, I thought it was a canned hunt. I mean, I said that several times on the way down there of how are we going to make this footage look a little bit harder than what it really is. And, you know, apparently I got, you know, 8 hours worth of footage that shows how freaking hard it can be. So, I don't know. I'm absolutely, I tell you what, I'm so dumbfounded that, I posted something on Instagram. I think I posted a video of the dog running down the road and said, this pretty much sums up my 2019 turkey season so far. And dude, I've had people message me and be like, oh man, I'm so sorry. Won't you come hunt with me? Come kill some turkeys with me. So apparently I made people feel bad enough where they're inviting me to go turkey hunt with them. So I don't know. Must be doing something right. I mean, guys, it was a great time. What is kind of a most memorable moment from the whole deal? And I'll tell you mine, and you're probably neither one of y'all are probably going to believe what it is, but most memorable moment besides killing a turkey.
Well, for me, that was probably the walk down to the cabin the night after I killed that first bird. It was like a mile down there. You know, I like walking and I didn't want to wait for the truck. So I just picked that bird up and just carried it down there. And I just had one of these, I don't know, for those that don't know, like I do this full time. I do YouTube full time. And the whole reason I do it is because I love going new places and experiencing new things. And I just had one of those moments where it was like, man, I'm in a cool place doing a cool thing. And I just had a wave of gratitude kind of wash over me that I was able to experience something new. I was grateful for the food that I was going to be able to eat from that bird. Just like the sun was going down, and I don't know, you just get those moments every once in a while where you're like, this is why we do it. And I just kind of had one of those on the way back to the cabin. And that was a really memorable thing for me, but also just, you know, hanging out with you guys, joking around, having a good time. Like, that's what it's all about. That's why I go hunting, is to have those moments and those friendships and experiences.
Good stuff. Trav?
Yeah, I agree with Ben. One thing I won't forget is that chair that I had to sit in for 20 hours. Worst experience of my life. But just getting to hunt something new. I'm used to seeing pine trees. That's all I hunt. East Texas. Getting to go out there just to sit, watch, and hunt something new. Not even just a turkey. Just a new setup. I really, really enjoyed that.
Well, you saw deer. Well, you shot a pig.
I shot a pig.
And you saw deer, didn't you? I know, Ben, didn't you see deer?
I did, yeah. When I was hiking down to the cabin one time, and then one evening right by the cabin, there were some whitetails there.
Yeah. Yep. Well, I'll tell you what my it's kind of post-hunt what kind of meant the most to me and what I'll always remember. And Ben, you kind of stole it from me, dude. But you know, I watch all of Ben's videos, or most of them anyway, and, man, I really enjoy them. I mean, it's kind of inspired me to try to do something new. I mean, I love doing this podcast, and I love getting to talk about hunting, you know, all season long, not just during hunting season. I love the people that I've got to meet from this podcast, which Ben is one of them. But I was watching Ben's YouTube video, part one of his Texas turkey hunt, and it must have been, Ben, I'm sorry, I don't exactly remember when, but it must have been on that walk back from your evening hunt where you shot that bird. And you just had a moment and you were like, you know, this means the world to me that I'm able to do this. And thanks everybody, you know, for watching, because of you guys, you know, and that in itself is such a perfect thing. You know, that's what, with all the bull crap and stuff that goes on with the hunting industry and all the negativity that sometimes surrounds it, and, you know, the jealousy, and then, you know, people doing stupid crap by, you know, poaching or whatever, I mean, you captured something. I don't even know if you really meant to or not, but when you watch that, everybody needs to go to Ben's YouTube channel and watch his Texas Turkey Hunt Part One. That moment, Ben, when you were, you know, just kind of vulnerable, not to sound, you know, girly or anything, but just that vulnerable moment where you were just like, this is what it's about. I mean, that captured to me what hunting is about and what, you know, getting hunting with your buddies or hunting with your kids or, you know, your family members, whatever. You captured that at that moment. And yeah, I didn't shoot a bird. I didn't even see a bird. I didn't see a deer. I saw a bunch of cardinals and a dog two different times. And I sat in the most uncomfortable blinds I've ever sat in my life. I pretty much had, when it came to me hunting for a turkey, I had one of the worst experiences of my life. But the fact that I was involved in getting you to come to Texas and have that moment of, you know, of innocence or purity or whatever you want to call it, dude, I mean, that was freaking phenomenal. And, you know, it wouldn't have happened if I wouldn't have had such a crappy time hunting. Because if I'd have shot all the birds, I'd have been talking so much crap, there wouldn't have been no time for sappy emotional moments. But I mean, I'm being serious, Ben, that moment that you captured on video, dude, it meant the world to me. And it meant a lot that I was just a part of it in such a small way, dude. So my hat's off to you for doing what you do, man, because you give a lot of people hope that, you know, if you're not happy doing what you're doing, or if you want to do something in the outdoor industry, I mean, it's there for the taking. Just work your ass off and get it done. So again, I mean, you can probably elaborate that on that a little bit, but that's what I took away from the whole weekend. When I watched that video back a few days later and saw that dude, I was just like, it made my heart warm. I was like, man, I'm glad I was a part of that.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate you saying that. And I appreciate you making it happen. You know, like that's what it's about for me. That's my why. That's why I get out and do this, is because I want to have moments like that. Just moments of just awe and of understanding of the big picture. And I want other people to experience that too. I want people to know that they can get out there and feel what it is. Like, there's a reason that hunting is so powerful to so many people. Like, it's something so much bigger than us. It's part of our culture. It's a part of our past. And if I can help people remember that, then that just makes me feel like I'm doing something right, I guess. But it never would have happened without you, man. I appreciate you bringing me down there and making it such a fun trip and a fun environment so that I can have those experiences. And can't wait to do it again, man, to get you back. We need to get you on some more birds.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that I gave y'all something to laugh at and make fun of me about. It was well worth it, I guess. But yeah, Ben, what's next for you, dude? Where you said you're leaving today. Where are you going?
Yep, I'm headed to New Mexico to chase elk sheds for a couple days, and then we'll swing back up through Arizona, make a week out of it, and then who knows after that. I need to sit down and plan some stuff out, I guess. But
well, what were you – I saw something on Instagram or whatever. You brought it up. What's the deal with shed prices these days?
So, yeah, the antler market, and I it's hard to tell whatever's buzz and whatever's rumors. I called my buyer, and he confirmed that prices have dropped pretty significantly on antler, like this last even just week or so, and that they think they're going to drop a little bit more due to some changes in the Asian market. So might be I don't know. It's a good and a bad thing. For me, antler is a small part of my income. It's not enough for me to really worry about too much.
Yeah. You do it more for the passion than you know, for the fine more than the income, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'd be out there picking them up and making videos if they weren't worth a thing. I just think they're cool.
Well, did the market, I guess it was pretty strong. I mean, I don't freaking know, but yeah. Did that cause a lot of people who normally wouldn't hunt sheds to go out and just do it for financial reasons?
You know, probably guys that are out there doing it just for the money. I'm sure there's plenty of them. And I think that it'll be cool to see, like, if the price really did crash, how many people quit doing it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think that the popularity of it is what is really pushing more people to get out there and do it, just because, like, it's popular on social media, it's trendy, like, everybody's kind of getting excited about it.
Yeah.
So I think it'll still be popular even if the price falls out.
Well,
I think you're right.
I know where 4,500 acres is that you can come find. You can come look for all the shed you want to, and you'll be the only person out there looking for them.
Those whitetail sheds?
Yeah, yeah. You can come on to our lease anytime you want to and go look for them some bitches, because we can't find them. And when we do, we just dumb luck walking up on them. I don't think any of us want to go to the places that that we feel like they shed their antlers at.
Right. Well, I've been to your lease, man. I don't know if I want to go hike around in that crap either.
Yeah, I don't know. Hey, one more question. Do you wear camo when you shed hunt?
Dude, you have to, man. You have to. How are you going to get caught hopping fences? Yeah, just to hide from the people in the national parks that don't want you in there.
Oh, God. Oh, that's funny. I know you are. I know you are. Well, I mean, I'm supposed to be in Mississippi this week, turkey hunting, but the dude sent me a text last night and said, the birds have gone silent. Do what you want to. And I was like, hell no, I'm not driving to Mississippi if the birds haven't gone silent. Thank you for the heads up and not making me drive down there and seeing nothing. So that was pretty cool of him.
Bob would have said, come on.
Yeah, Bob would have said, they're everywhere. Come on, man.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
I do have the possibility of trying to put another hunt together with a dude from Texas that would be fun. You know, still got Tennessee, which I'm really, really excited about Tennessee. I think that's going to be my hunt of the year as far as turkeys go. And that's coming up the 1st of May. So still got some chances, guys, to redeem myself. You know, I'll try to make y'all proud, but I can't promise anything for sure.
Well, I've been building some Gould's turkey connections in Mexico.
Yeah.
So that might be a trip we have to put together one of these years, like – that I think it'd be a blast.
I think that would be awesome, dude. As long as we don't take any vehicle that you're associated with that breaks down the other side of the border.
Yeah, that's usually what happens. We'll be all right, though.
Well, Ben, dude, hey, thank you so much for coming on and just kind of sharing what happened and the good times that we had. I mean, like I said, dude, I consider you a buddy, and I'm just glad to know you. I'm glad to hunt with you, and we're going to keep hunting together, hopefully. Travis, I still got to put up with your ass every day, so there's no getting around that at all. But I tell you what, guys, I had a great time with both of you, and Travis keeps on saying we need to make it an annual event. I don't know if we – my vote's going to be no on the same outfitter.
No.
But
me too.
You know, we all three do need to get together and do a Rio hunt every year. I think it'd be a lot of fun. And, you know, we could always talk about this past 2019 hunt and laugh about it, hopefully. Because it couldn't get much worse, I wouldn't think. If it would, I'd probably just quit hunting turkeys altogether.
So. Yeah, for sure. I'm down. I think the annual trip would be fun. Thanks for making it happen, man. I had a great time down there with you and with Travis. Dude, anytime you want to hunt, we'll make it happen. I'm excited getting you out west this year, too.
Yeah, dude. I'm Jack, too. I got to lay off the little Debbies a little bit, though.
Time to cut.
Anyway. All right, Ben. Hey, dude, thanks so much for being on. Trav, thanks as always. And thank you guys for listening. We love you a lot. And shoot us a message on the old Instagram. Tell us how your turkey season's been so far. It couldn't have been any worse than mine has been as of yet. That's what we need to do is just have listeners write in and tell us how their bad turkey experiences are.
I'm sure maybe there'll be some worse ones.
Maybe I would be able to sleep at night now and not beat myself up so much. Anyway, Ben, thanks a lot. Travis, thanks a lot. We're out. John Blake, take us out, bud.
Thank you for listening to the HuntCast. Stay up to date with all new episodes, special guests, and appearances by following us on your favorite social media platform. Search the HuntCast on Facebook or on Twitter and Instagram at the HuntCast.